to a past still unnamed. Bear this torch against the cold of the night. Search your soul and reawaken the undying light.
Hello, everybody, indeed. Welcome to the Anavision Podcast. This is episode 295. I'm Jero, and I like the group that I have with me today. It kind of reminds me of the good old days of Destiny 1 and queuing into a strike or a nightfall or whatever. I'm joined by XCOM.
Hello.
I found a good time to get you on the regular episode of the podcast on a Tuesday evening. And we have a guest, a good online friend of ours that we met from playing Destiny and playing many other games like Rocket League and Borderlands 3. It's Myth Obstacle. Hey, what's up?
Hello.
Thank you for joining us for this episode. We have plenty of news to talk about. In our discussion, we are going to cover our most anticipated games for 2020. But before all of that, let's kind of get to know Myth a little bit. If I'm correct, when it comes to anime, you've watched some stuff before, but you wouldn't classify yourself as an anime fan, is that right?
Yeah, that's probably right. I watched a lot of anime growing up, but more like Dragon Ball Z, Yu Yu Hakusho, Rurouni Kenshin. And from then, I just kind of stopped watching it. So I'm not super into it anymore, but, you know, occasionally if I see something, I'll check it out.
So you were watching a lot of Toonami?
Yeah, definitely.
Right,
yeah.
It sounds like.
Yeah, it's a starting point for us, so. Those are good times watching Rurouni Kenshin.
Oh, yeah.
Gundam Wing and all that. And then, like, discovering the show on it.
I started rewatching them on Netflix, so that's been fun.
Oh, nice.
There's a lot of good anime on Netflix, actually.
Yeah.
Yep. And as far as video games go, we met playing Destiny. We've played a lot of first person shooters and a lot of these shared world shooters. We also played The Division. Talk about some of the games that you like to play and some of the ones that you're really into right now.
Well, mostly the only game that I'm hardcore into right now is The Elder Scrolls Online. That's my main game after kind of stepping away from Destiny. But other than that, I like to play a lot of RTSs like Pillars of Eternity, strategy games, or casual fun games like Stardew Valley.
Cool. All right, so we have plenty of news to get into. Let's get started with some game stuff. The first story is about esports. Activision Blizzard signed a deal to stream their big games, esports, on YouTube. That includes Call of Duty, Overwatch League, which is coming up soon, Hearthstone, and others. And the numbers that I've been seeing so far for it, I saw about 40,000 viewers for Call of Duty on Sunday, which I think they have some room to grow. But the interesting thing is, as Overwatch League shifts from Twitch to YouTube, I've seen people on the main competitive Overwatch subreddit saying, hey, where's the YouTube channel that I can go to watch the games and stuff? And like, it's gonna take a while for them to get viewers back, because there's people that kind of like just flat out don't know where to go. It's pretty wild.
One would hope that they would update the app and just like repoint all the videos to wherever it's going to be on YouTube. Mm-hmm. If they do that, it might be not that hard to get your viewers. I don't know how many people use the app versus just going to Twitch though.
Yeah. And Hearthstone apparently just like a massive drop off. I don't know how popular it was on Twitch, but the numbers seem like they were saying like there was only 6,000 people watching. It's kind of concerning. The interesting side element to this deal with Activision Blizzard is that they're going to be hosting games on the Google Cloud servers. So the Surface War is kind of like this whole streaming thing about, you know, signing deals to get this person to come over or this league to come over. But now there's the whole thing like between Amazon Web Services and Google Cloud. Like, that's where the real money is being made by these companies, it seems. Mm-hmm. The thing that I'm hopeful for is that when I play Overwatch on PC, I play at minimum 80 ping, and there's times where it kind of feels a little rough, like, oh, I was clearly behind this corner. It's
80
ridiculous.
ping. That's pretty high.
Yeah, and I can't figure out, unless I were to get a VPN today, how I can get that down. And I play other games, and I see, like, I was just downloading Fortnite just to see what it was like, and I'm getting like, 30, 40, which is a good spot.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that with this move to Google Cloud, they get a region that's a little closer to me, and I get a better ping.
I highly doubt this deal will affect you at all.
I hope so. Give me hope. Say like, maybe, maybe not.
I don't like lying to people, so no, it won't affect you at all.
in a site. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to point out something. You mentioned that this is going to be on Google Cloud servers, but that's kind of an important note, because some people have been tossing around that this has some kind of effect on Stadia. Like now that these are going to be now that Google has a deal, and more specifically YouTube has a deal, that like, oh, maybe that means that Activision will make more stuff for Stadia. I'm like, this has nothing to do with Stadia at all. And I just want to point that out because apparently there's a lot of misconception about this deal. It has nothing to do with Stadia. It's everything to do with YouTube and Google Cloud servers. Because, I mean, Google is trying to compete with AWS and Microsoft and everything when it comes to cloud servers. I mean, they're doing okay. They're still one of the bigger companies. So it has nothing to do with their gaming service.
Boy, how many people would be on Overwatch on Stadia? Like, I
About
did.
as many as people who are on Destiny on Stadia.
Yeah. I did see something weird. Somebody was trying to put together a Destiny raid on Stadia, but all of them playing on like weird devices, like on their refrigerators and their Teslas and stuff.
I'd watch that.
That would be cool, just to see like the weirdness of that. And a side note related to Overwatch League, due to the coronavirus that has been going on in China, and they found cases across the world, the home stands in China, at least for the earlier months, are going to be canceled, and they'll be played online. Far from ideal to have these games played online, but it's, what can you do in the face of a spreading disease?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. That's all I had to say.
So next up, the next BioShock game is being developed by Cloud Chamber, a 2K studio. Recently on PS4, just today, the BioShock Collection was free for PS Plus members. So the interesting thing about this game being developed is that apparently it's been tossed about by a couple different studios for like 2, 3, 4 years or so. And so, as that happens, creative vision changes, and it's really hard to quantify exactly what that's going to mean for us, the viewer, because we haven't, or the player, because we haven't seen anything close to a screenshot of the game. But it's one of those things to kind of keep in mind as we see more of the game and as the game gets released, that it's been kind of bandied about by many studios. Next up, Horizon Zero Dawn could be coming to the PC this year, which I think would be really cool because as much as I enjoyed the limited amount of time I played on it, I moved over to Zelda very quickly and I just did not get to finish Horizon Zero Dawn. And playing it on PC would be pretty amazing. And with Death Stranding, we know that's coming to the PC. These PS4 exclusives, maybe we could see more of them make their way to the PC eventually. That would be
I think
interesting.
they kind of have to just to compete with Microsoft at this point. Because, I mean, PC is just that other platform to put everything on. Horizon Zero Dawn is also just a really good game. It's a shame that you haven't actually finished playing through it. If you do get a chance to play on PC, definitely give it a go.
Is the DLC gonna come to PC as well? The whole thing?
I would assume. I haven't read any specific details on that,
I'd
but
assume that too.
it might be one of those things where it might, when you buy it, it comes bundled with
Right.
the, because it's like a free-year-old game.
Yeah, that's usually what they do when they release or remake an older game. They just bundle everything together and they just release it as some kind of definitive edition. How much you want to bet it's going to be called a definitive
Yeah, they'll
edition?
do that on PlayStation 4 too. Yeah.
I would play it again on PC.
Yeah, I was curious because I think you've beaten the game before and you're building a PC soon, if I'm correct.
Yep, I got the parts ordered.
Nice. Nice. Looking
Yeah, I
forward to
loved Zero Dawn. I platinumed the base game, so it's
Nice.
definitely a good game.
Oh, cool. And there's a separate collection of trophies and a platinum for the DLC.
Yep, there are.
Oh.
I haven't quite finished that yet.
Must be a pretty huge DLC. And a couple of video game delay news. Final Fantasy VII, the remake, is being delayed to April 10th. So that's just about a month. So, not, you know, we'll just have to wait a little bit longer. No big deal.
I've already waited years.
Yeah. And Cyberpunk 2077, we will have to wait a few months longer as that's being delayed to September 17th. And that the multiplayer mode that they were planning to release with the game is now going to be kind of scheduled for 2021. I did not know there was a multiplayer, to be perfectly honest.
I do about it. I don't know if I'm gonna care so much about the multiplayer. This to me is more of a single player game.
Right.
But I don't know, like for whatever reason, a lot of people really love the Grand Theft Auto Online. So
Yeah.
maybe this is gonna be like, because it seems like the multiplayer is kind of its own separate thing, and a lot of games like this, the multiplayer is just it evolves. And
Right,
it could
yeah.
be its own money-making thing over a long period of time.
Yeah. A big thing for me will be the quality of gunplay in the game. Like, if it feels anything close to Destiny, I'm going to be really loving this game, and that's going to make me more interested to play online because of that. If multiplayer is kind of what I'm thinking it is, like it's like a little more than just like some kind of co-op or something like that. Are you interested in Cyberpunk, Myth?
Oh, definitely. I can't wait for it. They should take as long as they want just to make it perfect. I didn't know there was multiplayer either. It's interesting.
Yeah, that is the one. I have this thought about delayed games is that whenever that this happens, everybody always says that a delayed game is a good game, right? But I
It's a
kind
better
of,
game than it would have been.
right, yeah. So I'm thinking like it's mainly like I don't think our perception will really change on what we think about the game overall. It's just that when we get it, it's going to work. Our save files aren't going to magically delete or anything like that. So that's kind of the feeling that I have about delays is that it's good for, you know, shipping a product that's finished. Maybe it would have made a Division a better game, the first one when it came out. But yeah. Moving on to anime news. Funimation, they were starting to stream Interspecies Reviewers, but after a couple episodes, they pulled it from their streaming service as it falls outside of company standards.
This is freaking hilarious, and it doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was the latest episode, but essentially the reviewers, the whole point is that you have these guys that are their goal is to have sex with every kind of species in this fantasy world. And the latest episode, they went to a brothel where they converted to women to try to have sex from the opposite gender's perspective. And
What?
the episode, I swear, was practically a hentai. And I'm like,
Yeah.
oh my God. The fact that Funimation pulled it, just makes sense.
Yeah. Because, like, on one side, you think, how do you not do your homework and know that, you know, there's a manga, pretty crass, vulgar manga, right? And even in the opening, you know, there's a like a vagina in the opening, and I'm thinking, what R18 show shows it? Like they mosaic all the genitalia stuff. I was surprised in this mainstream anime to see that in an opening theme.
So the funny thing is they attempted to censor the mess out of this episode, and I bet what happened was they attempted and it became too much work because or maybe not too much work, but the episode is pretty much unwatchable because literally for scenes at a time they would just go blank and say like, oh, well, you're gonna have to use your imagination. And I'm like, yep, this isn't gonna last. They're not gonna be able to continue doing this. There's censoring. There's really big censoring, where it's like High School DxD. But this is on a whole nother level. And it's just like they can't do this. There's no way they're going, because I was surprised that Funimation had it at all. So hey, it was a fun ride, I guess, while it lasted.
I can respect the decision because how many times have we seen, oh hey, there's beams of light covering up 80% of the screen. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, I hope more companies kind of follow that pattern instead of just like, well, we're just gonna air this completely butchered and messed up.
Yeah, like you should realize, hey, you know what? We tried. This is not going to work for us. And what'll happen now is I'm sure there's going to be like an American version of something to like bring together all these anime rejects that aren't being broadcast for one reason or another, and just like, hey, we'll do it. Because that's usually what happens, like the an anime HBO or something.
Yeah, the funny thing is that the Taiwanese stream was where it was at to watch it really uncensored. Does that sound like something that'll get you back into anime myth, that kind of show?
Oh, definitely. I'm actually looking it up right now.
Oh, wow.
Right, so Castlevania, really good first couple of seasons on Netflix. Season 3 is going to be coming March 5th. That is pretty soon. The past seasons
Yeah.
have debuted in October.
So, for some reason, I am not caught up on this. Not for any particular reason, not like because I didn't like it or whatever. But as you know, sometimes I just get sidetracked, and sometimes I don't not finish a series, but sometimes it just takes me longer to finish a series. And this is one of those instances. I don't even remember where I am. I'm gonna have to go back into Netflix and go back in and go into see where the heck I am. I know I didn't finish the first season, but I definitely like this show and I want to return to it.
And you might as well just start over because it's basically like watching a 12 episode anime at that point. Because first season's 4, second's 8, and this one's going to be 10 episodes.
I hate it when it's not consistent.
It's getting popular. Oh, or more episodes. Netflix also is going to be streaming a live action One Piece series.
I wonder how the heck they're gonna do this. Just because of Luffy, and the graphics are my main concern because I feel that this could end very, very badly. Just because, I mean, Luffy, the whole stretching mechanic, and I'm interested on a technical level. Not so much. I haven't really been watching One Piece lately, but I'm really interested on how they're going to pull this off.
And okay, we've hired this actor to play Zoro. We need you to hold a sword in your mouth
Oh,
for a long
yeah.
amount of time. Just do that.
That's also going to be interesting. You know, I wonder though if they'll like put a mouth guard into like the hilt,
Yeah.
Because I've always wondered
Oh
why that's
yeah,
not a
shape it
thing.
around their teeth. Yeah.
Yeah, that
That would be
just makes
smart.
sense.
I remember back in the old days when we would see news like this and go, oh my God. But then you would see like, oh, Oda Eiichiro, the mangaka, is a producer. And you're like, oh, okay, it's going to be, you realize it doesn't mean anything. Like they're just collecting a paycheck. They're going to say, hey, it's great. I'm getting paid. So what? I don't care if it really sucks.
It's more like sometimes they'll make suggestions, but that doesn't mean they have to take
Yeah.
it.
And one more Netflix story. They are streaming the anime Pop Team Epic, but they are cutting out the second half of episodes. So, with my limited knowledge of the series, if I'm correct, the first episode, like 11 minutes, would just play normally. It was like, sketch comedy stuff. And then the second half was kind of very similar to that, but like slightly different jokes. And they would have other times where the producers would be on screen talking about some stuff. So, like, it's unnecessary to cut the second half of the episodes, even if it looks exactly the same. Just a weird choice.
I mean, I haven't watched this series, so I have no skin in this game.
Right. Yeah, that's something that Amuro, I believe, would know more about. And Quintessential Quintuplets, we finally know when season two is going to be airing. That is in the summer 2020 season. I am looking forward to that series. And the manga is getting ready to end very soon. So, as that show's airing and stuff, just be careful of spoilers because we're certainly going to see who won the Futaro Bowl and who gets to marry him and stuff. So, it'll be fun, but kind of a time to be careful browsing the internet.
I have that series downloaded. I have yet to watch it.
You should watch it. It's pretty soon. Yeah, definitely before season two. I mean, it's a solid harem series. I was kind of like, I think it's
I'll get to it, I
yeah.
think. I promise. Maybe.
So let's play some intermission music right here, and when we come back, we'll be talking about our most anticipated games for 2020. And welcome back to the podcast. We get into our discussion segment. 2020, it's going to be an interesting year for video games. We're here to talk about some of the titles that we're most anticipating. I do want to start off with the new consoles that are going to be coming out later this year, the Xbox Series X and the PS5. It does not seem likely that we're going to get a new Switch model, so I'm not including that in the discussion. If both of you are buying any of these systems, will you buy one of them this year? And which one do you think is going to be first? Miff, we'll start with you.
I'm definitely getting a PS5 as soon as it is released. In the past, I haven't been keen on getting a launch console for obvious reasons, but I'm gonna be buying it right up. The PS4, I have a console or a launch release PS4, and it's been fine. And I cannot wait to upgrade for those faster load times. So,
Yeah, you've been missing out on the pro years, I
oh
guess.
yeah, I was gonna say.
I never got a PS4 Pro, so I'm looking forward to the upgrade.
See, I actually have a Pro, so I'm not super hurting for any kind of upgrade at the moment.
Makes sense.
I'm kind of torn though. Obviously, this past generation I've been Sony, but before that I was Xbox. And I'm actually thinking that I might go back to the Xbox the next generation. But if I do, I'm not going to do anything for a little bit. I'm going to see how far I can go with just Stadia. And then see if there's anything that'll really compel me to use a physical console again.
Yeah. See, I think the one that I'm interested in is the Series X because I think Microsoft is going to be good this generation. I almost think it's going to kind of go back to the 360 PS3 ways where, you know, the seesaw kind of goes in their favor. But I think because of their initiative to add games like Halo Infinite is going to be on PC when it comes out. A huge title. And I have a pretty good PC. Why would I worry about buying a console that's just as powerful, probably, as my PC? It might be a little more
It's
by the
probably
time it
going to
comes
be
out.
more powerful than your current
But I
PC.
mean, it's easy for me to upgrade mine. But I think PS5 might be the smarter bet for me because of all of the eventual exclusives that are going to come out of it. But it's so tough because I think I want to get one at launch, but I just don't know which one. I kind of got to see more of the games that come out, I guess. See if Xbox Series X has more that comes with Game Pass. Because I have Game Pass right now on the PC and console, and
Oh, that's good.
I think I'm getting a lot of bang for my buck there.
I hear good things about it. I don't know why you're worried. You know your dad's gonna just buy both consoles.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah,
So I'll at least get to try something. Yeah, that's how when the Switch first came out, I actually beat Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild just playing on his Switch first. Before I got my own.
that's an insane amount of time to be playing on something that's not yours.
Yeah. And it wasn't like I was over there like every other day or something. It's just like once a week or whatever.
I just find it funny.
So let's talk about some games now. Miff, mention one game that you are interested in for 2020 and why.
I am absolutely stoked for Neo 2. Just started playing Neo 1, and it's super fun after coming from playing Bloodborne and Dark Souls and beating those, wanting something new. Neo is so fast-paced. I love it right now. So the fact that Neo 2 is right around the corner, all the stuff that they're adding to it just looks so awesome. That's the one I'm looking forward to the most by far.
Yeah, and Neo was available for free, and that's something I should be getting on at this point. Although I did buy Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, which is a very similar type of game. So it's kind of good for that because I feel like there's a group of players that love those games that are just like very hardcore, like high difficulty stuff, and you got to kind of
Definitely.
learn the pattern and get your butt whooped like dozens of times before you finally figure out like to get to half health on a boss. So but yeah, Neo looks really cool. XCOM, how about you?
We kind of glossed over it earlier, but Final Fantasy VII, it's been delayed, but I'm super looking forward to it. I actually did not play it originally when it came out. It's
Really?
what, yes. I'm probably like one of the few people in the world who hasn't played a Steam game. I definitely, I've been told that I really should play it, but it's, see, I have this thing about playing anything old. And I can't get over the graphics of that game. And when they said they were remaking it, I'm like, sign me up. As soon as it comes out, I'll definitely play it. And I really like the direction that they're taking with this game. They're definitely trying to do it justice. Some people may think like stretching it out into multiple games may be seen as a cash grab, but it sounds like it's one of those things that they what the creator of the game originally said, like in order to remake this game, it would have to be multiple games because it's so long.
The original was three discs.
Yeah, but like weren't all Final Fantasy games multiple discs?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Because of size, yeah. So it'll kind of feel like that. You just gotta wait like 2 or 3 years for the disc or so.
He's like, wait 3 years for this to.
Yeah.
The new one isn't going to be turn-based, though, right? The
It
remake
can be. It's
can
going
be.
off of the Final Fantasy 15 model, where it's
Okay.
real time if you play by default, but you could also change it to be turn-based.
Right. That's good.
So it's up to you how you want to play it. And there, if it's like 15, it'll be there are different buffs you can do if you're playing real time versus playing turn-based.
Right.
So I'm playing 15 over again. So
Yeah.
Final Fantasy is kind of in my mind at the moment.
I'm looking forward to that one as well because when I first played it, I only got to the end of disc two, and then for whatever reason, I just stopped playing. Didn't get to the end. So looking forward to that. And then one of the weirdest controversies that came out of that at the beginning was Tifa's boobs are smaller.
Damn.
Tifa's boobs were huge, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to make it realistic, you'd have to shrink them a bit.
Yeah.
They're still fairly big,
Yeah,
so.
they're still great. I'll go ahead and say the game I'm most anticipating this year is Half-Life Alyx. I am going
Yeah.
to be buying a VR headset to play this game. I'm a big Half-Life fan. Half-Life 2, one of my all-time favorite games. I'm actually planning to, thanks in small part to Steam allowing the Half-Life games to be played for free from now till April. I'm going to go back and replay all the series. I will admit I've never played Half-Life 1. But I'm very excited for everything that they've talked about with this game, is that they're saying that the length is going to be comparable to that of Half-Life 2. Alyx is not going to be a silent protagonist. She'll actually speak because she's a regular character, not like Gordon Freeman. And seeing what I've seen of the gameplay for it, it just looks great. And everything looks so solid. And I was watching this video kind of figuring out which headset I'm going to eventually buy. You could zoom in on your hand and you can read the details on the microchip and stuff. So I'm super excited for that game, and I'm kind of interested in looking at some more VR stuff when I do get the headset.
Yeah, let me know when you make that purchase because I'm very interested in kind of messing around with VR. I've been toying around with the idea of a VR headset, but it's one of those things where there's so many other things going on in my life. I just can't afford to take that money out of something else.
Yeah, so my decision right now is between the Quest, and then I think I'm going to go with the regular Oculus Rift S. Because with the Quest, you have to have the video link, and there's some compression that's going to go on with that. So I think the Rift is going to be the one I get.
Yeah, the Rift is good if you're gonna focus on your machine doing all the processing.
Right.
The Quest can run on its own depending on the game.
And what's good about these now is they don't require the antennas to be installed in different places. They just have the cameras in the headset. So that's really good. I don't have to mount those to the wall or whatever. Miff, back to you. What's another game you're anticipating?
So I play Elder Scrolls Online, right? And the next big update for it is going to be Skyrim. So I'm really excited about that because they're bringing back a lot of the places that were in Skyrim and bringing in a couple new places in Western Skyrim. So the whole year is going to just be a ton of Skyrim stuff. So that'll be really fun.
All right. So is this like paid DLC? Is it part of like a season pass?
Yeah, you can purchase it and you own it forever, or if you pay for like Elder Scrolls Plus, the subscription, you get all the DLC.
Okay, cool. XCOM, how about you?
Well, since DLC is free game, I'm actually looking forward to the Pokemon DLC. There, it's being split up into like two different versions, and essentially they're taking the wild area, which is pretty much the most popular part of Sword and Shield, and they're making DLC that the entire area is like wild area. Which meaning that everywhere you go, Pokemon just pop up and you can see them walking around. You can run up to them and battle them if you want to and stuff like that. Of course, they're gonna have their own like special Pokemon that specifically come out in each of these DLCs, but you can actually trade them out to other people who don't have them, which I'm glad they didn't lock out other people. So that'll be cool. My family is a big, we play a lot of Pokemon with each other, so for me that game is kind of like a family game.
So I saw in the Switch eShop that there's like two different versions. Is it just buying it for the version of the game that you have, or is there?
Yeah, that's all that
Okay,
is.
yeah. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
so don't get both unless you have both games and you really want
All right, yeah.
both for
Like
whatever reason.
you're buying like another game at that point.
I mean, yeah, it's what, $30?
Yeah, I thought it's like 25 to 30 for the DLC,
Yeah.
so yeah.
Think about it. If you have both games and you want the DLC for both, that's just
Yeah. That is
yeah,
your only game.
I'm not about that life.
Yeah. Next up for me is game Axiom Verge 2. Do you both remember this any? It was like a Metroidvania game.
No, I don't think I've ever heard of it.
All right. So it came out first on the PS4. It was an indie game that was made primarily by this one guy, Thomas Happ. And I think it's one of the best Metroidvania games that has come out in recent memory. Like, the look and feel of it was very familiar to Metroid. It kind of felt like a love letter in a way to that series of games. And I thought, along with the usual gameplay stuff that you like, you know, the idea of getting all these power-ups and exploring a map and getting 100% items and all of that stuff, there's an interesting sci-fi story that kind of kept me interested in it as I was going through the campaign. And now Axiom Verge 2 should be coming out sometime next year, and I'm huge on the Metroidvania game, so I'm looking forward to that. And that's one that at this point is pretty much available on every system. Frequently goes on sale, so I definitely recommend if you see it at like 10, $8 or something, give it a try. I'm going to jump in with another game. Persona 5 Royal is one I am looking forward to playing again because of Best Girl Kasumi, who's going to be the new character in this game. I'm also looking forward to some of the new activities and kind of the enhancements that they make to the previous game. So I'm kind of glad I didn't play New Game Plus on the original Persona 5 because that would have been like another 90 plus hours. But I'm willing
So
to sink it in.
the annoying thing about this game is I knew they were coming out with a game on the Switch, and
Yeah.
I specifically stopped playing Persona 5 because I thought they were going to release Royal for the Switch, and I didn't want to go through the game and then go through it again on the Switch.
Yeah.
But then it turns out that Royal isn't coming for the Switch, and it's probably never going to.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I do also want to play Royal. But I haven't finished the original game, and I'm like, I wish this was some kind of DLC upgrade versus me having to
Yeah.
rebuy this game all over again.
Yeah, I kind of it's kind of feels like a Japanese thing of like, well, this is the way we do it. This is the way we've done it, and we're not going to change.
Just gonna remake the game for the most part, just throw in
Yeah.
So an extra character, some more missions, which is essentially a DLC, but
Right.
repackaged, and it's a brand new game, and
Yeah.
you have to buy it again. That's just frustrating to me. It's the reason why I haven't finished this game, because I can't bring myself to pay for it again.
Yeah. And it's a bummer because, like, graphically, it's really solid, but it's not like a technical powerhouse or something like Doom Eternal or some. It seems like it wouldn't be that hard to bring over to Switch, but instead, we get another Dynasty Warriors style game, which, I mean, I'm past a point of even playing that type of game for franchises I like. Myth, how about a game for you?
It doesn't have a release date yet, but Dying Light 2, I am
Oh,
just
yeah. Oh,
absolutely
yeah.
stoked for. Love Dying Light. Any zombie killing game is great, but the parkour was super fun. I really hated the skill tree in Dying Light 1, so I'm hoping that 2 is a lot more like an RPG. I hear that they're going to add factions and stuff like that, so I cannot wait for it to come out.
And that was one that was delayed also.
Yeah.
They were originally planning for spring, but it got delayed. I should play the first one.
I just beat it recently.
Yeah, I wonder how much it costs on stores now, because the idea of like I like the parkour in like Mirror's Edge, for example. It's a 5-year-old game, Dying Light. I'm looking at it right now, so I gotta imagine I can find it on some Steam sale or something. So I'll kind of keep my eye out on the first one.
I stopped doing all the side quests and just push the main story because it is a long game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's $40 right now on Steam. XCOM, your next game.
So, as I mentioned, I'm trying to stay on Stadia for the beginning of this generation, at least as far as I can. So, Watch Dogs Legion is actually something that we haven't mentioned. And that I'm kind of looking forward to, mainly because I'm really interested in the whole concept of anybody can be on your team. Like you just pick Joe Schmo off the street,
Your
and he might
NPC,
have some, any kind of NPC, and they might have some really cool stats, and then you can just add them to your team. I've always really liked how Watch Dogs, you can pretty much go through the story and accomplish missions however the heck you feel like it, and it looks like they're kind of expanding on that with this one.
yeah. It kind of reminds me of the plot of that new Ryan Reynolds movie, Free Guy.
Oh
Have you seen
yeah.
the trailer for that?
Yes, I've seen that. I'm looking forward to that as well, actually.
Yeah.
Not a game, but still.
Yeah. On the subject of movies, how about Sonic? Anybody seeing that?
Okay, so I guess so. I might take my son to see that movie.
I kind of want to see it, but it would be weird if I walked in alone. Come on, Alex. Let's go.
Maybe when it's on Netflix. Maybe.
It's a lot easier to watch once it's on Netflix. You probably wouldn't feel weird going into because it's just going to be a kid movie. So it's and that's the thing about movies that hit nostalgia boners and you go in to watch the movie because it's just a remake of something you saw as a kid, but it's just filled with kids. It's like it feels weird to be in here.
I hope it's good. Everything that I've like the animation for Sonic looks better.
So much better. It looked pretty creepy the first time.
Even in the original trailers, everybody was like, "Hey, Jim Carrey looks like he might be pretty good as Robotnik." And I'm a fan of Ben Schwartz, who does the voice for Sonic. People know as Gene Ralphio from Parks and Rec, so I'm hopeful it's good. It looks like it shouldn't be terrible or anything. I don't know.
I'm sure it'll
At
be
the
really
very,
fun.
yeah.
Yeah, the trailers make it look like it's going to be a lot better than the original
Yeah.
trailers let it out to be. So they're doing a lot better with promoting it at the very least.
Let's see. I want to mention Bayonetta and Vanquish Anniversary. Now, Bayonetta, we've seen it released, on the Switch and stuff, so it's nothing really new to talk about Bayonetta. it's just my excuse. I want to talk about Vanquish because it's being remastered in 4K 60 FPS. And I just, even though the storyline just kind of sucked and is really corny, the action in that game from Platinum, outside of Nier Automata, might be my most favorite because the mechanic of sliding and slowing down and shooting was just like super cool in that game. Like he had like jet powered knee packs or something like that, and he would just slide on the ground. That was like really super cool and just one of the funnest mechanics that I've played in a game in some time, especially in those like super action flashy type games like that and Bayonetta, Devil May Cry 5. So I'm looking forward to getting the remaster of that and playing Vanquish all over again. Let me check what year that was that it came out. It was like early
07,
2010s. Oh, it was in 2010. Yeah, October.
released worldwide 2010.
Yeah. Let's go back to Myth for another game. Do you have one?
Animal Crossing.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had a Nintendo console. I now have a Switch, but I haven't had one since GameCube. I never had a 3DS or anything. So I actually had an emulator on my laptop to play Animal Crossing. And I am so excited to play a new Animal Crossing on console. It'll be like my first legit Animal Crossing. So,
So many people are hyped for this game,
oh, I can't wait.
my wife is a big Animal Crossing fan, and I guess I'm gonna have to get it at some point. But like I used to play it. But I would play it for a while, but it's one of those games that I can't stick to for very long. Because what ends up happening is if I put it down for a little while and then come back to it, there are weeds everywhere. And then I'm like, I'm done.
This neighborhood's a lost cause. My mom is very much looking forward to it. I think
Aww.
my sister might be too, so it might end up being like a family game for us, and I'll play it too.
You know, it sounds very feminine. A lot of girls like this game. It's just now occurring to me.
Did
Everybody that I know that's excited about this game is a woman.
Did you see the version of the Switch that they're releasing
I
with
did.
Animal Crossing?
I try not to look at it too hard.
What, you don't want to get another Switch just for this game?
Maybe. I mean, we'll see.
See, that's a good design. Like what they did with the Smash Brothers release is like that deck is really disappointing.
I'm actually surprised at how terrible the specific Smash Bros. Stuff was, being that it was supposed to be a huge release, but they didn't really do anything for
Yeah, it's like put like a single color in there, you know? Let's see. I ask me if XCOM. Do you have another game?
Not really. I think that's all my wallet can handle at this point.
All right. So I will wrap it up with one more. The Last of Us Part Two.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God, I can't
Yeah.
believe I forgot about that one.
Considering when it's being released in May, I believe this might be the PlayStation 4's swan song.
Yeah,
Considering
sounds
like
right.
I ranked the original as one of my most favorite games of the past decade, for its sort of grittiness and sort of survivalist gameplay style, and I'm looking forward to much more of that playing as Ellie. And they're talking about like Ellie, you know, like Joel was kind of like an older guy, and Ellie's kind of younger and lighter, so she can kind of climb up more stuff. And they're talking about like enhancements to how you craft and level her up and, you know, get more stuff. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what kind of gameplay improvements they bring to Last of Us Part Two with playing as Ellie. And of course the story, I'm very interested in seeing that involve, as I thought that was one of the better stories of the past decade in video games.
Most definitely. I cannot believe I forgot about The Last of Us. You know what would be funny as if you spend a chunk of time with Joel as like your second. I just think that would be hilarious because that wasn't really a thing in the first game. It was kind of the reverse. So like if now you're like, Joel, like stop running over there and possibly getting us killed.
And then you take control of him, and all of a sudden you kind of feel like a one-man army again. Like he started to feel like that by the
Towards the end,
time,
definitely. But I mean, like, now he's an older dude. So I kind of like, because, okay, the excuse was she was a little girl. So, like, now that Joel is older, so wouldn't that kind of make him a little bit weaker and make it so that he has to be protected a bit?
It's a lot of, like how many times you walk with all these characters in video games, you're kind of crouching, and I'm just thinking like, ow, my back. Ow, my back, this hurts. I have a couple other games I just want to mention quickly. Halo Infinite. It's been a few years since I played a Halo game. I didn't like Guardians as much, although that was at the time when I was playing a lot of Destiny, so it's probably a big reason why. Ghost of Tsushima, if it comes out this year, looks really good just from the trailers that we've seen. Cyberpunk 2077, we mentioned, should be really cool. One more, Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Beautiful art and animation in that game. Another Metroidvania type game I'm looking forward to play. And there's still 11 months left in the year to go, so there's plenty more game announcements and all that stuff in the meantime.
Are definitely going to be more game announcements. I'm actually, I mean, this is kind of a side note, but ESO is supposed to be coming to Stadia from what I understand. And having any kind of MMO on Stadia, I'm kind of looking forward to. And if it does come to Stadia, I hope there's some kind of cross play.
Me too.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I mean,
MMOs would be
teach us.
great on Stadia for just the portability of the game, and like do some farming, while you're kind of like at your desk working. It's like, oh, tap, tap, tap. All right, so that has been our discussion segment, and this concludes episode 295 of the Anavision Podcast. Miff, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Anavision.org is our website that you can go to check out all of our episodes, and you can subscribe on the usual podcast apps, whichever ones you have downloaded. And on future episodes, I'm hopeful that we can talk about some of the recent anime movies that have come out. Amuro and I saw Weathering with You from Makoto Shinkai. Ride Your Wave from Masaki Yuasa is going to be coming out soon. And there's also another My Hero Academia movie. And then I completed Jedi Fallen Order. I'm hoping to talk about that with Steve. I don't know if he's completed it or not. And then we are coming up on the mid-season of Winter 2020 anime. Have some updated impressions about what we think about interspecies reviewers and Inspector, which is interesting, and other shows like that. So,
Magica.
I'm watching. Yeah, I like Madoka Magica so far. So for XCOM and Miff, I'm Jero. We will see you next time on the Anavision Podcast. Believe it.